Today's daf in Masechet Pesachim is daf Pechet. Yesterday we got up to poor Ula, had a terrible night with those dates. Whew. And had much more respect for those Bavlim after they have obviously consume a gallon of poison every day, and they still managed to make it to the Beis HaMedrash. She was absolutely amazed. So that's where we were up to. And today we continue on with the description of the Inyanim of the Golos. We started off yesterday talking about how it is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was only Mefazer, Klal Yisrael, Beinu Moto Olam, in order to be able to Mosif Geirim on them. And today we're continuing with actually the words of those Geirim, Latid Lavo, the Omer Rabbi Elazar. We were talking about the Yom Yisrael, which HaKadosh Baruch Hu collects Klal Yisrael, Mibeinu Moto Olam, which started off with the Klola, which was, we found that Baruch Hashem, Hoshea was able to be Mahapech. But we continue on with the psukim that have to do with this. So this is from Yeshayahu, but it's referring to that day. V'yolchu amim rabim, v'yomru l'chu v'na'ale al har Adonai el Beit Elohei Yaakov. V'yoreinu midrachav v'nelcha ba'orchotav ki mitzion teitzei Torah v'ar Adonai Mirushalayim. This is the big pasuk that we speak about all the time. And for some reason, it says that all of the amim will be looking at the Beit HaMikdash as the Beit Elokei Yaakov. Now, why is that? Elokei Yaakov? I mean, what was wrong with Avraham and Yitzhak? I mean, you could say all of them, no? V'lo Elokei Avraham and Yitzhak, because that's the point. They will not be looking at a Beit HaMikdash as it was defined by Avraham, where over there the Beit HaMikdash was considered to be a mountain. Shemar Asheri Yamer Hayom Behar Hashem Yira'eh. V'lo ki Yitzchak, because Yitzchak, when he related to Beis HaMikdash, she related to it as a sadeh. Shekatu bo sadeh, shenema, v'yetzi Yitzchak l'suach basadeh. Ela ki Yaakov, shekara o bayit, shenema, v'yikrat shema makom ahu, Beit El. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, gadol kibbutz galuyot kiyom shenivru bo shemayim v'aretz. Because again, in reference to the kibbutz galuyot, we had the pasuk that referred to the Yom Yisrael, v'nikbetzu b'nei Yehuda, u'v'nei Yisrael yachdav, v'samu lehem rosh echad, v'alu min ha'aretz, ki gadol Yom Yisrael, that same Yisrael that Hoshea referred to back in the beginning, which was Gerim that Kola. And now this was the great day of the kibbutz Goliath, and it's called the day. And the day means the chashivut of a beginning that is the equivalent of vayi erev vayivoker Yom Echad, which is Maisa Bereshis, which of course Bereshis was for that day, the Bishva Yisrael Shenikra Reshis. Okay, getting back to the Mishnah. So now we were talking about situations in which we would need to determine which one of the Korban Pesachs that was shechted for an individual is actually the one that he could be Yotze with. You can't be Monoi on two Korban Pesach, so it's Ish, and we had the case of the determination of what was stam and whether there was a problem of brera when it came to the case of the isha. So over there, we analyzed different social situations. Was she a tzabala? It was the first yantiv after their marriage and so on and so forth. And then we had another case which also seems to require the concept of exactly the same thing, which is brera, because it says over there that if the court had appointed two separate guardians, so we had two apotroposim, and each one of these apotroposim has the right to consider this minor that they are in charge of as part of his household. And in this case, each one of them went ahead and shechted. So now the question is, which one does he eat from? So it says in the Mishnah, he can eat from either one, whichever one he wants. Well, I mean, so that's the case, that since you have to be monui, shmamina yesh brera, and we have the raya. Now, we can't answer what we answered before, because before we were talking about the isha. Okay, I understand that in that case, there's the chiddush to tell me that she is able to choose b'shas shchita, and that we don't say that if she didn't choose b'shas shchita, she's not allowed to eat, because I would have thought that over there, we should assume that there's certain das that she would be more neichet to eat from her husband, whatever. But I mean, it's certainly a chiddush to tell me what she doesn't get to do in the case that she was not boreret b'shat shchita. But there is no such advantage in telling me the din about the yasim And the Yosem, what? I mean, it's obvious, it's Pshita, that if it wouldn't be that it's coming to tell me Breira, so then it's not coming to tell me anything. So Lechora, it would be considered to be Breira. Says the Gemara, no. Omer Rabbi Zera, I'll tell you why not. Because when the Torah said se labayit, it means se labayit come hell or high water, mikom akom. In other words, the one who's in charge of the bayit, he has a right to define the Korban Pesach for anybody in his bayit. So it doesn't matter. We don't need his das. Since we don't need his das, we don't need to come onto Breira. Because Breira needs to define retroactively what the das was at the time. And if you don't hold the Breira, there was no das at the time that can be defined later. We'll never find out. We have no idea. Because it's basically random as far as we're concerned. That's what the meaning of Ein Breira means. As Rashi explained so brilliantly, Ein Breira means that there is no connection, causal connections between these moments. So you can't say because in the end it works out that way. That means it was meant to work out that way all along. That's the nature of chaos and complexity. So therefore, in this case where we don't need to define his das, milachatchila, we don't need to come on to Breira, because in any event, he had a right to go ahead and check for him. Now, of course, this is not very clear. Why? Because it's very true that I do not need to know his das, yes. But I need to know which one he wants. I mean, that's not the same as das. I understand he's a katan, he doesn't have das. But the fact is that one or the other has got to be chosen, right? So you say, okay, it's not real choice. It's just a matter of his expressing interest, and then he can go ahead and eat from that one. But then how do you get around the problem of being manui on two separate Korban Pesachs? Isn't there something that needs to be done retroactively to remove him from those two Korban Pesachs? So it's obvious from the Gemara that there's a tremendous difference between creating a situation where he is manui on that Korban Pesach in advance, which requires a retroactive determination of das, which is not applicable here, to the other question of how do we get him off of the other Korban? And the idea of getting off of the Korban does not have to be something that I need to define retroactively. It's not a major issue. It's just that we need to make certain that he's not involved in two. And that is perfectly okay for us to find out now. Okay, so this is the one that he likes because it's no big deal. That seems to be the way Rashi learns it. Tosfos learns it, that what Rabbi Zera is saying, that Sela Bayit Mikom Makom implies that Sela Bayit, the chiyuv of Sela Bayit in the sense of not being manui on two sayim, that is a derabbanan. And in this case, so the Rabbanan were not makpid on its being defined mirosh. So you don't have to say it. But we couldn't have simply given the answer we gave before that it was b'shat shchita, because it wouldn't have been any chiddush. Now, obviously, b'shat shchita, of course he can say what he wants. Tana Rabbanan. Let's take a look and see whether that holds water. Tana Rabbanan, sela bayit, melame cha'adam mevi v'shochet. Now, this means somebody is in charge of the family. So whoever the head of the family, whether it's the apotropos in terms of the minor court appointment, he's a court-appointed guardian, or whether it's just a regular family, teaches me that, misbehaving. So this teaches me, Melamed, yeah, it is misbehaving. Gosh, maybe it doesn't have any room to record anymore. Runs out of space. Yep. Okay, we'll have to do some surgery over here. Anyway, so Tana Rabbanan, Sela Bayit teaches us, maybe v'shochet, a person can go bring a Korban Pesach and shecht it in his mind for the benefit of, al yedei means for the benefit of, b'no b'toak tanim, his minor children, or for the benefit of, al yedei avdo v'shivchato aknanim, the servants that he owns, because over there, obviously, they have the same chiyuv of a Korban Pesach that a woman has, but he is the head of the family in terms of his ownership of them. And therefore, he can do that ben midatan, ben shalom midatan, whether they like it or not, because he's the one that's in charge. And Amban Avibito Aktanim, he's in charge simply because of not just the dependency, what if they're not dependent, but because of the chiyuv of chinuch. So therefore, the Torah has given it into his hands. Avalei no shochet. He cannot shecht without permission for his children who are Gedolim, or for his Avdo v'Shivchato who are Ivriim, because he doesn't own them, of course, he just does contract on their work. And the same thing is true for his wife. He can only do that because these are independent people. So is a woman independent. She doesn't have to be dependent on her husband if she doesn't want to. So even though normally Chazal gave her the right to be supported by her husband, which in the event that she accepts it is good, the moment she says, I don't want it, so then she's not forced to accept his support. And because of that, she could bring her own Korban Pesach. So in this case, he would require their permission. Now, the other brayta says like this: Lo yishchot adam, lo yedei beno bito agedolim, velo yedei avdo v'shivchato ha'ivrim. Or, now, you could ask that shivchato ha'ivrim is a minor by definition because she's yotze b'simanim, right? As we just had in the week's laning. So why can't he bring for her because she's a minor? But that's the point. It's not that you could bring for a minor. You can only bring for your minor. What to make it your minor? The fact that you're chayav in the chinuch of that minor. So over here, since there is no chiyav for a shivcha ivriya, so it's not a problem. So therefore, in that case, he cannot bring for them. That's the pshat. So, but he can shecht for vayidei shto elamidaita, unless they give advance consent. But shochedu ayidei b'no b'to haktanim, that he can do ben midatan, ben shalom midatan. Now, here is where we get a little bit into trouble, what we thought we understood very clearly. And that is, v'kulam sheshachatu, v'shachat rabban aleihem. So in any case where they went ahead and shechted their own, and he had gone ahead and he shechted for them, so then they can only be yotzei b'shel rabban. They cannot be yotzei b'shel atzman, except for the isha. Why except for the isha? Because she could have brought her own korban pesach anyway. I don't understand, says Gemara. What's the difference? I mean, if somebody's going out to bring his own korban pesach, then obviously we're talking about he's a gadol, right? Or he's an eved ivri who is capable of doing his own things. And it says that in that case, they're only yotzei b'shel rabban and not on their own. I don't understand why. Just the woman can be mocha, so can they. Why do we say only a woman? Maishna isha. No, says the Gemara. Obviously, you're reading it wrong. Except for the isha and anyone who you need to get their permission, which would include the avdo hivriim, the beno ubito hagidolim. That's what it's talking about. Okay, so then I don't understand the whole price. Would you mind explaining to me, isn't this a contradiction? You start off saying, okay, chutz min aisha. So this is different because the woman is able to be mocha. Now, well, that means she's theoretically able to be mocha. Obviously, it doesn't mean she did mocha, right? So we're saying the only reason that she is not yotze, we're talking about over here, is that daima de mochi. Now, the pashtus over here is that she can say beferish, I do not want you to be my korban pesach. But if she doesn't say that beferish, so then she would have been yotzei from her husband as long as she doesn't say anything against it, right? So in other words, the point over here is she could be yotzei from the husband even when she didn't say beferish. She doesn't say, okay, I want you to bring it for me. She just doesn't say anything. But the problem is that initially the Braita said you cannot bring for your wife or for your b'no b'to agedolim, and so on and so forth. You cannot bring for any of them unless it is midatan, which implies advance permission. So do I need advance permission or can I assume hastama there at Smashman that she's not going to be yotze unless she gives her permission? Says Gemara, no, you misunderstood. My elami daitan, when it says permission, it doesn't mean they have to say yes. Lafta amri'in, it doesn't mean they say, I give you permission. When it says midatan, it means that they don't protest. It means mistama. As opposed to a case where they said, no, we don't want it. So then they would not be yotze with you. That's what it meant. You assumed that consent means consent. But it doesn't mean that. It means except for a lack of consent. Okay. So now that means that Minastam, we're assuming that she would approve and she would want to be Yotzi with Ras. And the problem is that then the Braita says that if any of these people went ahead and they shechted, and the master also shechts for them, so then the halacha is that they can only be Yotzin Bishel Rabban. Now, what is that referring to? This is talking about in a case where it's Stama, right? They're only Yotzin Bishel Rabban. But it says Chutz Min Aisha. In that case, over here it was Stama. You said that in a case of Stama, that a woman is Yotze. And over here it says that the woman, even in a case of Stama, is not going to be Yotze. Make up your mind. Oh, my Rava, I did make up my mind. It says over here that they shechted. If they went ahead and shechted, darn it, doesn't that show you that they're not interested? So if the woman goes ahead and shechts, as opposed to younger children or people that are dependent and don't have the opportunity to say, I don't want. So she is able to be mocha in this case, and she was, because kiven sheshachatu, ein lecha michui godol mizeh. Is there a bigger indication that I do not want to be yotze with your carbon than the fact that I went ahead and I brought my own? So fine. So in this case, ein achinami. If otherwise, she wouldn't have said anything. So then in a chinami, she would have been minastam. She would have been on her husband's. That's the thing. Okay, so therefore, we have basically those that we can force to be part of our karba, and that would include the avdo v'shiv chasu haknanim and beno bito haktanim, but would not include ishto because of the fact that a woman always has the right to reject her husband's support and to support herself. So at any moment that she does that by going out and bringing her own carbon pesach, that itself is saying, I don't want your support. Okay, so then there you could check even against their rotzen if they're ktani. Then we have the normal case in which if you have Benobi to Agdolim, and you have Ivrim that are your Avarim, and you have a wife. So over there, Minastam, they agree, but they can definitely tell you, we don't want. And then we have people that are not part of the Bayit, who want to make themselves part of the Bayit. Over there, they would have to make you a Shliach, but we wouldn't have any rights that you have over them or any assumptions that you would be able to go ahead. So that explains the three different levels. Then the Mishnah goes on to talk about the case where two different people own an Evet. So now there are Shnei Shutafim, and it says he can't eat from either of them for some reason. So Rami le Ravina, Saba le Rav Nachman. Of Evet shel Shnei Shutafim, lo yochal mishel Shneihem. It says from either of them in our Mishnah. The problem is that a Braita says, Vatanya, Ratza mizeh ochel, Ratza mizeh ochel. Here it says that the Eved can choose either one of the karbonis that were brought by one or the other of the partners in his ownership, and that would be fine. A direct contradiction of Mishnah. How do you explain that? So Reb Nachman said to him, Einas Abba, oh, ancient I, referring to his chachma. But sometimes used to call him Pat Yehuchma, you black pot. The reason he called him a black pot is because Reb Einas Abba was constantly learning, and he never took care of himself. And he really looked like he was in terrible shape, and his clothes were dirty, and he was really a wreck. So he would call him Black Pot to be meramis to the amount of learning that he's doing. Miniyu minach, between the two of us, now that we're talking about an Eved that's owned by two Shutfim, so between the two of us, we can make this work out. The Stayim Shmaitata. There's obviously a difference. The Mishnah is referring to a case where the owners are makbid on one another. Neither one wants the other one to contribute towards what it is that he is going to be doing. So they're like, do not get along, to say the least. Like, they may have made a neder not to be nene. Whereas the Bright is talking about regular partners. So, I mean, if I bedavka do not want the chelik of my slave to be nene from your carbon, I mean, how am I supposed to do that? I can't exactly work it out that the nutrition goes only to the half a cell, which is owned by me and not by you. So in that case, he wouldn't be able to eat me either. But in a normal case where there's no hakpada, so fine. So in that case, whichever one, each one understands that whichever one he eats from, he can eat from. It's the same idea. I don't need Brera because I don't need the das of the Eved in this case. I just need to make sure that he's not going to be a monui on two separate korbanos. The same thing that we had, same logic that we had before with the case of the two apotropism. And then we get to the famous situation of a chetzi Eved, a chetzi ben chorin. And over there, it says he can't eat from the Odin. Now, apparently, the reason he couldn't eat from the Odin is because the only thing that the Odin had in mind was the part of the Eved that he owns. The other part, who currently has no owner because the guy freed him, on that, he's not bringing a carbon for him. Now, the problem is that it says in the Mishnah that he can't eat from Rabbo, but it's mashma, he could bring his own korban, there's no problem. Mishel atzmo yochal. The problem is that it says in a braita, lo yochal lo mishel over lo mishel Rabbo. He is not allowed to eat from a korban pesach at all. How do you understand that? Says the Gemara, there's no problem. Every time we get to the issue of chatzi Eved and chatzi ben chorin, remember that there were always two stages in defining the halacha of a chatzi Eved and chatzi ben chorin. Kan, in the braita that we're talking about, where he can't eat from either, that was going according to the Mishnah Rishena in Beit Hillel, according to which he really is separately owned, and he works for himself for one day, and then he works for this other guy for the other day. And inachinami, in that case, he can't bring his own korban pesach because he doesn't have any rishus over the half that is still in a matzav of avdus. And over there, we would need his odin's granting him the rights to let that half that is owned by the odin to let him participate in this other guy's, who is his own other half. So when they say your better half, it was all based on this Mishnah and on the Mishnah Rishena, which over there, so which is the better half? Well, some people are better off as Avadim maybe. But anyway, in that case, you would need the permission that would be granted by the guy who owns the other half. Whereas in the later case, where in the end, Beis Hillel agrees that he doesn't really have a master. The reason he doesn't really have a master is because Chazal were mitaken that if a guy owns half of the person, he is forced to relinquish his rights. So because he's forced to relinquish his rights, even before we activate that chiyav in Bezdin, it is not something that you can actualize your ownership over, because all he has to do is take you to court and that's it. You're out of the picture. So that's not considered to be real ownership. An ownership that cannot be utilized is not ownership. And therefore, since, as we know, the famous Mishnah, the Tznan, this is a Mishnah in Gittin that we've spoken about so many times. Misha chetzio eved v'chetzio ben chorin, uvedet rabo yom echad v'etatzmo yom echad divri bet hillel. So we'll keep it equitable. You work for yourself for a full day, and the next day you work for the other guy, and that way each one of you gets half of the hana of your work. Says Beit Shammai, very clever, except you haven't helped him in any way. Tikantem et rabo, yes, you made the Rav's life possible, because now he gets to be able to use this Eved as required. But what's the poor guy himself supposed to do it? That's molo tikantem. He has no way to live and to be mekayem his chiyuvim. Because who is he supposed to marry? He can't marry a shivcha. Lisa shivcha eno yochoshek v'chetzio ben chorin. And an individual as a ben chorin is osur to marry a shivcha. He can't marry a bat chorin eno yochol, according to you, because he's still a chetzi eved. So you'll say, okay, lucky him. So he doesn't have to get married at all, right? Yivatel? No. That is not an option. Halolo nivra ha'olam ela lapiria v'rivia. Look, you know, the world was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu for you to do your share for its continued evolution. Shenemer lo tohu v'ra'a l'shevet yitzara. No Darwin awards are rewarded. And therefore, you've simply got to be part of this process, whether you like it or not. So what is this guy supposed to do about that? We're going to have to, because this is what the world demands. Now, because it's a getter of tikkun olam, it's obvious why it is that we can't bring the mitzvah period of a rivia. Because just because the guy has a mitzvah period of a rivia on his part that is ben chorin is not going to give us a reason or a validation for taking away the ownership of the other person. So it's his problem. So he's an honest. What do you want? But once you quote me the pasuk of lo tohu v'ra'ala shevet yitzara, then I see, well, I mean, this is already tikkun olam. In other words, it's telling us what the world is about. And the world is about this process of evolution, which everybody has got to get involved in. So then already, I mean, you, owner of the other part, you're just as responsible for that as all of us are. And because of that, Bezdin will act against you. But Eino Chinami, for the dinner period of Arivia per se, what would that give us a right to take him away from somebody else? Okay, so here is where we actually go against the normative understanding of rights of people for the overall getter of tikkun olam. So it's a very important gemara. V'kotev shtar achatzi damo, as far as, I mean, it's not very fair. He loses his rights. Doesn't he get compensation? He does get compensation in that the eved himself has to write him an IOU on that, and he's able to garnish this eved salary and so on and so forth in the future until he's paid back. Okay, but obviously he's forced to do that. In the end, Beit Hillel had to be maskim to this because of this understanding of lo tohu v'ra'ala shevet yitzara. And therefore, from that point forwards, the Mishnah Achrona will consider a chatzi evet, chatzi ben chorin, to be the equivalent of a complete ben chorin. And that explains the difference in the Piskei Halachas between the Mishnah Rishayna and the Mishnah Achrona. Now we are ready for our copy time.
Tuk Behelaka Mishnah.
Thank you. Ha'omer la'avdo, say ushchot alai et ha'pesach. So a guy tells his servant, go out, shech the carbon Pesach for me, but he didn't give him any further instructions. He just said, shech the carbon Pesach. Now the guy has no idea what exactly does he want in the carbon Pesach. I'm not sure. So the guy goes ahead and he just chooses. So if he shechted a gedi for him, he's allowed to eat it. If he shechted a tlev for him, he's allowed to eat it. What if he said, gosh, I have no idea which one he wants. So he goes ahead and he shechts both. So then the only one that he can eat is the one that was shechted first. The second one will be a carbon that is possible because he was already monoi on a different carbon Pesach since he hadn't defined. So therefore, the moment that the Eved shechted for him, that was his carbon. Now, what if he did tell him, except that the guy, the slave, forgot what he told him? Shechach ma shamar lo rabo. So what should he do now? Well, he can simply do this. He should shecht a tle and a gdi, but he should shecht it al tnai. And he should say like this. If what it was that my master told me was the gdi, im gdi amar li rabbi, so then this gdi I'm shechting for him, and this tle is mine. If what he told me was to shecht a tle, im tle amar li rabbi, then this is my tle, and then the gdi is his. Now, this has nothing to do with breira. Remember, Breira only has to do with retroactive definitions. Over here, it's just that the slave has no idea what he was told, but he was told something. And when we find out, then we get the information. Information has nothing to do with Breira. Only determination has to do with Breira. So at this point, nothing is a Breira issue. But now what happens if he goes back and he says, well, I'm really sorry, I don't remember which one, but you, whichever one it was. And the guy says, oh, heck, I don't remember what I told you. I thought you'd remember. So now we're really in trouble. Because if the Adain himself is Shechach Raboma Amarlo, so then we have to go out and burn both of them. So Yetzu Shneem LeBeit HaSreifa, because then what we have over here are two Korbanot Pesach that are Pesach. Because after all, neither of them are allowed to eat it, because then they might be over on eating a Korban Pesach Shelo LeMenuyah. So they're not allowed to eat, but Piturimi la'asot Pesach Sheni. Since Lomaisa, the carbon was chal, except I don't know which one it is. So because of that, the Shechita was kosher, the Zerika was kosher. It just now we don't know what to do. And this is not the same as other cases, as we'll see later on, where there is an impossibility of achila. Where over there was l'chatchila nishchat, not to be eaten. That is not the case over here, because at any moment, the Adon can recall, oh, yeah, I remember what it was, right? So it's not innate, it's not inherent in the situation at all, that this is a carbon that cannot be eaten. We're hoping that any moment it can. If l'maisa turns out that we never can figure it out, so then what can we do? We're stuck. And because of that, they're potter from the second carbon Pesach, because they're yotze. Says the Gemara, the first part doesn't make any sense. If the Adon didn't tell you which kind of animal to choose, you could take either one. Well, obviously, if he didn't tell you, then he doesn't care. And if he does care, he didn't say anything. I mean, his instructions are explicit, and you follow his instructions. We're going to go bust advantage of a life. Shachat gedi yochal, the Kiddush, says the Gemara, no. Even where it's been established for the past 20 years, every single year he eats a teleh. So you would say that's not considered to be dvarim shabalev. That's like a given. And therefore, if he went ahead and shechted a gedi, even though this Adon always eats a teleh, or shechat teleh, yochal afagav the roger begedi, that afal pikein, it still goes according to the fact that he gave it over into the hands of the Eved without stipulating. Now, the next part of the Mishnah is a problem. It says if he shechted both a gdi and a tle, then the Adon, the Rav of this Eved, does not have a choice. He has to eat the one that was shechted first. But the problem is that in a braita, it says, Vatanya, eni nimar shnei psachim keachad. You cannot, and this we took this for granted until now, you cannot have a manui on two separate korbanos Pesach. So what that would mean is that if they went ahead and shechted for you and was zurek for you and it wasn't known which one it is, so then it turns out that the only way that it would be kosher is if you did hold of Breira, right? But the Tana, we don't want to say Breira over here, as Tosus explains. I mean, we could say, well, it's not a problem, because maybe the Mishnah holds a Breira, and that's why he can go ahead and he could take whichever one. What would be the din? The din should be he could eat whichever one he wants, right? But that's not what the Mishnah says. Mishnah says he has to eat the first one, so then it's not predicated on Breira. So then what is it predicated on? Isn't the guy money on two psachim ke'echad, since it's not defined? Answers the Gemara, what we're talking about over here is a king and a queen. Now, we have a general claw. We've seen this all over, that we had this story with Yanai before. We're talking about a case where the individual that was shechted for, daite kala, and I've pointed this out to you before, that the inyan of nashim daiten kalas means something so totally different than people think it means. They think it means that women are stupid or something. Nashim daitan kalas means the same thing that melech umalka daitan kalas. Daitan kalas simply means I'm able to get along either way. It doesn't matter all that much to me. So a king and a queen, every day it's going to be either steak or it's going to be asado or whatever it is, right? I mean, what am I going to sit around? You really think that as a king and a queen, I'm going to be sitting around talking to the kitchen and telling them the menu? For heaven's sakes. Whatever they bring, it's fine. I mean, that's the way we live. In which case, since daitan kalais, kalais means easy. And we use this in English as well. You know, it's easy. Take it easy. It doesn't matter that much to me. So if that's the issue, then of course it will be, they said, go ahead, shech the korban Pesach, right? And they don't care whether it's a tleh or whether it's a gedi. So Mamela, whichever one was done first, that was the one that was automatically chal. But in lower class people where everything is an issue, you know, and you go into a restaurant, you take 20 minutes selecting something and arguing with the person that you're with. And I mean, that's ridiculous. So there ain't a chinami. There we would need to find out in advance which one you want. That would require prayer. We're not going prayer. It's such profound insight here into the nature of das and so on that it's really remarkable. But anyway, you think that this is far-fetched, right? But there's a braita that actually describes the real event, and that is Vatanya, like it says, Einim nimat shnei psachim ke'echad. Nonetheless, there was a maisa with a melech and a malka who had told their servants, go out, take care of the Karban Pesach, right? And they did. And they went out, but they didn't know which one to do. So they shechted both the Gdi and the Tle. So they had shnei psachim. So they came and they asked the king, so which one should we use? And we'll go ahead and we'll be tzela it for you. He said to them, what do I know? Go ask the queen. So he was a smart king. Actually, he might not have been all that smart. It might simply have been that since we're talking about in the days of Rabbi Gamliel, so then the question is whether this king was particularly religious or not, whether he actually cared. So this would apparently be Agrippus the First, if it's Rabbi Gamliel Azake. And the queen says, I don't know, we have to ask Rabbi Gamliel. So they go and they ask Rabbi Gamliel, and Rabbi Gamliel says, Malka u'melech, the daitan kala alayam yochlu min arishon. Since both of you are daitan kalas, it makes no difference. And therefore, whichever one was the one that was shechted first, that's the one that you guys should eat. But people like us, he wanted to make clear that nobody should learn from what it was that he paskin, that it would apply to them. So he continued on to say, but people like us, we can't eat from either, because since we don't hold of Brera, so there'd be no way to get out of the problem being monui on shnei psachim, in which case you don't have really a minui. And there was another maisa, this is a very cute story, where they find a dead lizard in the kitchen, in this container of the food that they were going to be serving, and they wanted to make the whole suda called Tameh, and they weren't going to serve it. So they came and they asked the melech, what do I do? He said, what do I know? Go ask the queen. They come to ask the queen. The queen says, what do I know? Go ask Rav Gamliel. They come to Rav Gamliel. This is what a Rav is really supposed to be like, right? I mean, so nowadays you ask Rashiva, oh, what's the din? Well, lita is matame. Instead, Rav Gamliel says to them, tell me something. How high was the temperature in the kitchen? This is very high temperature. Well, my friend, if you've got a lizard, lizards collapse in high temperature. They need to constantly be shedding heat. So take a cup of cold water and pour it over that lizard. So they did. And sure enough, the lizard jumps up and gets out of there. So obviously, it was never Mitame the Suda because it's a perfectly live lizard. So Rabbi Gamliel said, okay, no problem with your Suda. V'tir Rabbi Gamliel, kol ha-Suda kula. Anyway, so it turns out, you want to know what really supports the world? It ain't the king and it ain't the queen. It's Rabbi Gamliel or Talmid HaChamim. So Nimtza kol ha-Melech is toli b'malka, the Malka is toli b'Rabbi Gamliel, which means that the kol ha-Suda kula is tliya b'Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, then we go on to the case where the Eved forgot what he was told to do. So it says he should make a tnai. If he told me to shech the gedi, so then this gedi is for him and the tle is for me. If he told me to shech the tle, then the tle is for him and the gedi is for me. But how can he do that? He doesn't have any money by definition. He cannot make a kinyan because anything that he owns is owned by the adon. So what do you mean, Shali, let it be mine? You can't make it yours if you can't buy it. Masha kana evet kana rabo. So he's talking nonsense. Omar Abaye, no, it's possible to do this. I'll tell you what you do. You go to someone who's a shepherd that the Odin himself uses, this shepherd for a lot of business deals. And that guy is interested in helping out. Nechale betakan to the rabbi. So he tells the shepherd he's got a real problem. So then the shepherd gives one of these two to the Eved with a tenai that the Adon doesn't have any rishus to it. And then the halacha is that if somebody gives you something with that condition, so then there is no way for the Adon to own it, because if he does own it, then you didn't get it. So therefore, it always remains yours. And that way you're able to make this tenai. Then the last piece of the Mishnah, well, what if the Adon himself forgot what it was? So then it says you're potter from the Pesach Sheni. Says Abaye, now, when we say you're potter from the Pesach Sheni, This is only where the Odin forgot after they already did the Zerika. Because that way, when they did the Zerika, at least was theoretically edible. We'll see later on about the point that I mentioned to you. So it's theoretically edible, and therefore was royal achila for that moment. And then afterwards, okay, so then it became pasul. Then the din is at your yotze with your Pesach Rishon, even though you're not going to end up eating it. But if you never knew, and you were shachach lefnei azrika, which means that at the time of the zrika, it wasn't royal achila, so then you would have to make a Pesach Sheni. Now, some say, no, that's not what Abaya said. What Abaya said was about a different case. He said that. And that was the case of a braita. We're over there, a fascinating case. Five people come in with a Korban Pesach for five different groups, shechted. Each one of the skins is set aside. It's, okay, just set down our skin and we'll split them up later. And then when they come to collect the skins, they find a mum on one of these skins. There was this big wart and it potsled the Korban. Oh, heck, which skin went to which Korban? They have no idea. Nimtzit yabelet be'achad me'am. So now we have to take all of the five korbanas and we got to burn them because it's a suffik ba'al mum. We're not allowed to be makriv a suffik ba'al mum on the mizbeach. But these guys are poter milasos Pesach Sheni. That's where Abaya said, now wait a minute. Why are they poter milasos Pesach Sheni? That's only where we got the skins mixed up after we did the Zerika, because that would mean at the time of the Zerika, we could have looked and figured out which carbon was kosher, which carbon was pasul. So in that case, to be eaten at Izra Gedam, at least at that point, it was Roy Lachila. But if it was Nisarvo Lifnei Zerika, then they would have to be Chayav Lasus Pesach Sheni, because there never was a moment that it was kosher to eat. So you were shechting a carbon Pesach Shalo Lachila. Now, if you learn that it goes even on the Mishnah, where the guy really couldn't, there's nothing wrong with the carbon in that case, and the Odin could remember, and nonetheless, Abaya says it's only if he forgot later. So kosher, and in the case of a Braisa, there's a real pagam, there was a mum in the etzim carbon. Man de masse a Braisa, however, if Abaya only said it on the Braisa, he would not have said it on the Mishnah, because if the guy would have remembered at any point, it would have been Roy Lachila. So if that's the case, I mean, certainly HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows which one it is. Kamishmaya Galia. There's no problem in the Etzim Korban. You never figure out which one it was because you really forgot. Okay, so then fine, you weren't able to eat it, but at least the carbon that you brought, even a bio would be made that you do not have to bring the Pesach Sheni no matter what. Yeah, but I mean, this is a serious problem. It says over here that they're all putter from a Pesach Sheni. I mean, one guy in this Braisa did not bring a carbon Pesach. What do you mean they're all putter from Pesach Sheni? He never brought a carbon. His carbon, there was one guy that had a mum on his carbon. A mum on his carbon isn't kosher, but he evad. So I understand, what's this guy going to do about Pesach? Doesn't he have to bring a Pesach Sheni? Says the Gemara, he has to bring a Pesach Sheni. What do you want him to do? There's nothing he can do. Because what every one of them should bring a Pesach Sheni? You can't do that. I mean, because it's a suffix, you're bringing Chulin La'azorah. You can't bring Chulin La'azorah, can you? Wow. So, how are you supposed to bring it? Kamaisi Chulin La'azorah, four out of the five Korbanis are going to be Pesach Korbanis. Now, what's the option? The option is go ahead and bring b'shutafut. So what you could do is you could all bring one Pesach. No, you can't. Because then you would be bringing a carbon Pesach shelo l'menuyah. That doesn't work either. So what are you supposed to do? Well, what do you mean? What do you mean? What are you supposed to do? What you could do is everyone should bring a Pesach Sheni and make it tonight. Because you don't have to keep it as a Pesach Sheni. It's the same thing if it's a carbon shlomim. So all you need to do is say, if I'm the guy who suffered the Baal Mum, so then here is my carbon Pesach, and I'm going to be Yotze now. If I wasn't the guy, and my carbon actually did not have a Mum, so now I want to bring this carbon as a carbon shlomim. Okay? So how come they're not mechuyev to do that? How can they get away with saying poter milasos Pesach Sheni? Aha. That we will discover only in the next exciting episode on Daf Pei Tes. And meanwhile, don't put your foot in your mouth by making the wrong assumption.